Our Bibles to Revelation chapter 4 again tonight, getting into this chapter a little bit deeper, a little bit further, and we will go ahead and read what we've read before, starting in verse number 1, just to remind us. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Okay, so we spent two entire messages on that verse, showing how this trumpet call is the voice of the Lord himself. The call is from heaven. He's bidding his church to join him in that place that he's gone to prepare for them. Verse 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Not two, not four, not seven, not everybody. One sat on the throne. "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." Next time, God willing, we'll spend time trying to investigate from the scriptures the identity of these beasts, these 4 living creatures round about the throne. But honestly, after reading dozens of commentaries on Revelation 4, I'm satisfied that we have missed the mark. We spend so much time trying to figure out the wings and the faces and the eyes and all the rest of that. And sure, it's important, it's part of God's word, but don't you think the main thing about these beasts is what they're doing, their occupation? Does it really matter how many wings they had or what their faces looked like, or should our main focus be on the fact that they were worshiping Almighty God upon his throne? Don't you think that should be the main thing? And I believe we spend a lot of time majoring on the minute details and minoring on the major details. The main thing about those creatures is not how they looked, it's what they did. The main thing's not how they flew, it's what they sang. And they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says in verse number 9, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Okay, look at chapter 5, Revelation 5, verse number 9. Chapter 5, verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." You say, "Well, preacher, how does a white man get saved?" You must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How does the black man get saved? He must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. How does the yellow man, the red man, get saved? They must be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Anyone found round about that throne, whatever their kindred, whatever their tribe, whatever their tongue, whatever their nation, they are present because they were redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they're all praising Him. That's why they're all worshiping Him. That's why they're all crowning Him. Because they all know that He's the one that got them home to heaven. Amen. Verse number 10 says, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever." Now notice the time frame, the time reference given to us so clearly here in the Bible. Revelation, let me just remind you here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22 said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Chapter 4, verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven." Verse number 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." And then, chapter 5, and verse 10, "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." The scene that you have before you in Revelation 4 and 5 takes place after the churches have finished their time on earth. They have been taken to heaven, to the throne room of the Lamb. They are still anticipating a future reign on the earth, though. Okay, can you see that from the Bible now? That's not an interpretation. This is what the Bible says. The churches, then the ascension to heaven into the throne room prior to their return to rule and reign on earth. Okay? Now, you know what's good about that? And I keep bringing this out again and again because there's so much false teaching that needs to be overcome. From Revelation 6 to the first half of Revelation 19, we are going to read about terrible tribulation judgments poured out upon them that dwell upon the earth. And I want to keep reminding you that those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb are somewhat far better, while all of those terrible tribulation judgments are being outpoured. Where are we from the time that trumpet sounds and the time that the church, the redeemed, rule and reign on the earth. Where are we between that time? I'll tell you where we are. We are celebrating round about the throne of God in heaven. I don't know about you. Hey, if you want to, go ahead, stockpile canned food, and you can sharpen up your shooting skills and dig yourself a bunker out in the mountains. Do your best to fight your way through that tribulation time without taking that mark of the beast. Personally, I'd rather get in on this stuff we just read about. If I had a choice, and thank God he did give me a choice, I'd put my faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lamb and get in on that celebrating instead of getting in on the hibernating. Amen. Amen. Okay, now there's two different views here that come into play. One is the view that these, we're going to be looking a lot today, tonight, about these 4 and 20 elders. One view is that these 4 and 20 elders are archangels, or some sort of exalted group of angelic beings in heaven. That view is set forth by all those who are trying their best to leave the church on earth during the tribulation. So that's not the view we're going to hold to. There's another view that teaches that these 4 and 20 elders are representative of New Testament Christians, New Testament Christians. And I want to show you from the scriptures, first of all, why this group, these 4 and 20 elders, cannot be angels. And secondly, I want to show you from the scriptures why this group does indeed represent saved, born-again Christians. Now, there's no point in getting excited about being around the throne during the tribulation time if that's just our opinion. If we can't find biblical evidence to support our belief that these are redeemed, born-again Christians round about that throne and not angels, then our hope is vain. And I'd be holding out to you a false promise, holding out to you a hope that cannot be realized. Listen, the day is far past when a man can stand in the pulpit and say, this is what we believe, and therefore this is what you should believe. You must search the scriptures and make sure that our belief is not in a belief in a creed or a dogma or in a man, okay, but that our faith is in what the Bible actually says. Now, are these 4 and 20 elders angels? Let's look at this side of it first. Number one, there is no cross-reference, zero cross-references, and therefore no supporting evidence to be found anywhere in the scripture to suggest that angels have thrones. Nowhere in the Bible do you find angels sitting on thrones. Now, how did God tell us to study the Bible? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, by comparing spiritual things with spiritual. How did God tell you in the book of Isaiah to interpret his word? Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. If I have a line of scripture, a line of scripture, which says 4 and 20 elders sit on thrones, in order to make those angels, I must find a comparative scripture that gives me angels on thrones. Well, I don't have one. I must find another line or precept to agree with this one, that angels sit on thrones. But there's not one in the Bible. Number two, along those same lines, angels have no crowns. You will never find a crowned angel in all of Scripture. Why is that? Angels are given no place of rule. Angels are given no place of authority. Angels, according to the book of Psalms, are ministering spirits. They are servants. Servants do not wear crowns. Servants wait upon those who do wear crowns. Number three, look at Revelation chapter 7. One page turn there. Verse number 11, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 11. Are the elders angels? Revelation 7, verse 11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. So the angels are round about what? All the angels are round about the throne. But all the angels are also said to be round about the 24 elders. Now, if all the angels are round about the 24 elders, then obviously the 24 elders are not part of the angels. They can't be. There's a distinction made here. They've got to be a different group. Number four, look at chapter 5 and verse number 8. Revelation 5, 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps. Verse number 9. And they sung a new song, saying, okay, meaning these words are in this song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, I hate to even open this door because we can't go in the room. I'm just going to open the door and we're going to just look in there. In Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, the Bible talks about Satan as the anointed cherub that covereth. He was God's choir director. And if you'll read in those passages, which are not prophetic passages, but they're passages that look backward, you'll find that Satan, he's called Lucifer in Isaiah, was God's director of music. You'll find in Job chapter 38, verse 7, that under Satan's direction, at the time of the original creation, the angels joined in song, singing praise to God. Sometime after that, Satan led a rebellion of angels. There was war in the heavens. A great company of that heavenly host was cast down with Satan. And from that time, angels do not sing. You cannot find in your Bible singing angels after the rebellion of Satan. You don't find it in the Word of God. Well, in Revelation chapter 5, the 24 elders round about the throne are singing. The four beasts are singing. Why not those angels? Because angels don't sing. And there's a reason. Keep your finger there and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, but what are they singing? They're singing a song of redemption. They're praising the Lamb for redeeming them by his blood. How did he do that? He became a man, went to the cross, laid down his life, shed his precious blood, and died, and rose again the third day to redeem fallen mankind from his sins. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Jesus Christ did not die for angels. He died for men. Jesus Christ did not shed his blood for angels. He shed his blood for men. Jesus Christ did not go to Calvary to redeem angels. He went to Calvary to redeem men. So the Old Testament prophets wrote of the New Testament gospel, and when they inquired of God, what's this about? The Lord said, well, it's not for you. It's for those who will come after you. In like manner, when the angels desired to look into the things pertaining to the New Testament gospel, the Lord left them in that realm of desire. Okay? He did not allow them to enter into the realm of fulfillment. Okay, you can desire all you want, but it's not for you. Okay, because Jesus Christ was not dying for angels. He was dying for Adam's race. Therefore, if I have in Revelation chapter 5, 24 elders round about the throne singing a song about redemption through the blood of the Lamb, those can't be angels because they are not, they were not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now, why is all that important? Well, it's important for several reasons. Number one, we need to be reminded again and again that there is a right way to study the Bible, and there's a wrong way to study the Bible. And the right way to study the Bible is to make sure that what you teach regarding one passage is not violated by the teaching of another passage. Because if it is, you got the wrong teaching. God's word will not contradict itself. Bible teachers and Christians, they will make contradictions appear in the Bible, but there are no contradictions in the word of God. Secondly, why is this important? Because we must continue to reinforce the fact that we haven't left the church on earth to endure the tribulation. The church is up there just as sure as the angels are up there. There's another group up there that was not there before. And the only way they got up there was through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, were angels in heaven before Christ died on the cross? Were there angels in heaven before Christ died on the cross? Yes, there were. Then that's not how they got to heaven, is it? Were there cherubim in heaven before Christ died on the cross? Then that's not how they got to heaven. Were there men from Adam's seed in heaven before Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross? No, there were not. Therefore, this group had to come by way of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they can't be angels and they can't be cherubim. They've got to be saved men. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. In the passage that we read in Revelation 5:11, this group, you noticed, was numbered, all those thousands and thousands. They were numbered as 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. So there's a number there. It's possible to number them. Look in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Okay, so who's being addressed? Those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the end, the finishing of that faith. Okay, so just up front here, I'm showing you that we're dealing with saved people in this chapter, this passage. Now come down to verse number 22. But ye... Okay, so that's who we just looked at, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Innumerable means you can't count them. When those that put faith in Jesus Christ come to heaven, the angels are already there. How many? Innumerable. There is no numbering of the angels. There is a numbering of the group represented by the elders in Revelation chapter 5. So they cannot be the same group of people. They've got to be different. Let's go on. Look at verse 23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Guess who is in heaven with the angels in the heavenly Jerusalem? The general assembly and church of the firstborn. Now, if you wouldn't have to fight the cult label for the rest of your life, and if you wanted to start a church and wanted to give that church a scriptural name, you could call your church the Church of the Firstborn. And if that was the case here, we would be the Church of the Firstborn Mangaf Assembly, Kuwait. that would be a biblical name for the church. It's the Church of the Firstborn. What is up there in heaven? When everybody that is saved gets home, that is the general assembly. That's not a local assembly of believers on earth. That's the whole bunch, all of them. Well, can angels be part of the church of the firstborn? No, they've not been born again. Can cherubim be part of the church of the firstborn? No, they've not been born again. The only people that can be part of the church of the firstborn are those who have been born again by God through the incorruptible seed and have Jesus Christ for their elder brother. This has to be the New Testament church in heaven. It's got to be. It's not angels. And the name elder, that's a name that signifies maturity, okay? Angels, though, they're timeless beings, okay? And in Revelation 5, verse 11, the Bible says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and so on and so forth. So notice that a distinction is made in the scriptures between angels, the beasts, and the elders. There's a distinction made, not the same. Now, let me just give you this without turning back and spending a lot of time in Chronicles tonight, but I'll give you the references, and if you don't get them as we go through, you can get them from me afterwards. But in the Bible, we have a great priesthood in the Old Testament, all the sons of Levi were placed into that priesthood. The sons of Aaron, they were placed into the high priesthood, the high priest's office. And yet, in 1 Chronicles 24 and chapter 25, we find that all of those priests, that entire priesthood, was divided up into 24 courses for service. Okay? 4 and 20, 24. Okay? Now, there were not just 24 priests. Okay? There was an entire tribe of priests taken out of that nation. But those priests, they were represented by 24 leaders serving in 24 courses. Now, among the Levites that were to serve in the house of the Lord, they were divided up, according to 1 Chronicles 23, divided up into 24 courses. And the number that served was limited to 24,000. Okay? Now, they might have numbered 100,000 of them born and living, but the number of them that were permitted to serve was limited to 24,000. In 1 Chronicles 25, we find that God chose a company of prophets to praise God before the holy place with songs and with musical instruments. You know how many he chose to do that? 24. 24. There were porters appointed from the sons of Levi in 1 Chronicles 26 to wait on those ministering in the temple. Do you know how many porters were chosen? 24. 24 courses of 24 priests and 24 singers and 24 playing instruments and 24 porters in and about the representation on earth of God's throne in heaven. Now, who were the earthly people? The Hebrews, the Jews. Who are the heavenly people? The born-again New Testament believers. Okay, so now we will turn to 1 Chronicles 28 and read some there. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, starting at verse number 11. 1 Chronicles 28:11. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. Verse number 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. What did David say? I didn't make this stuff up. God put his hand upon me. God put his understanding within me. And I wrote down this pattern of 24 courses, 24 singers, 24 porters in the holy place where God dwells. Now look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. verse number 6. Hebrews 9, 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Look at verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. On earth, at Jerusalem, you had a temple. In that holy place, in that temple, you had 24 representatives for all of that nation of priests. God said, what went on at Jerusalem for his earthly people, the Jews, was a snapshot. It was a picture, so that those of us that have been born again through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could have an understanding of what was going to go on in heaven. Now, when I come to Revelation chapter 4 and I read about the throne room of God in heaven and read about 24 singers and 24 priests, I know that I'm dealing with someone that has been chosen unto God to dwell in heaven, just as surely as the Jews have been chosen by God to dwell in a piece of land on the earth. Who could that be? It's got to be his church. The 24 elders stand as representative of the church. Now let me give you 5 scriptural matches, cross-references, which will support this teaching that these 24 elders are representative of born-again Christians. Turn in your Bible to Exodus 28 and Leviticus 6. And when you find those two passages, we'll go back over to Revelation and get chapter 1. Exodus 28 and Leviticus chapter 6. And Revelation 1. The Bible said that these 24 elders were clothed in white linen. They were clothed in white linen. Exodus 28, verse number 41. Exodus 28, 41. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. You know how a man got in the Aaronic priesthood and got to serve in that office? They had to be consecrated and sanctified. Verse 42. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. What did the anointed priests wear? They wore linen. Okay, Leviticus chapter 6. Not just the breeches. You know, breeches, we call them britches today. That's where it came from. Leviticus chapter 6, verse number 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh. Look at chapter 16 of Leviticus. Leviticus 16, verse number 4. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre, that would be the hat, head covering, shall he be attired. These are holy garments. For who? For the priesthood. On earth, serving God as part of the Hebrew nation. Are we an earthly people? Oh no, we're heavenly people. Do we have a nation on earth? Oh no, we're a heavenly nation. But Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And verse number 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Does Jesus love you? Did he wash you from your sins in his own blood? Well, then don't put a period there where God put a comma. And, verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. Those who have been washed in his blood have been made priests. What do priests wear? They wear linen. Guess what the 24 elders are wearing round about the throne? They're wearing linen. Do you know who they are? Not angels. Do you know who they are? Not cherubim. Do you know who they are? They're people who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and been made part of the heavenly priesthood. Amen. I'm not worried about the first vial or the second vial, the third vial, the fourth vial, the fifth vial, the sixth vial, or the seventh vial. I'm not worried about any one of those seven trumpets. I'm not worried about any of those seven seals. I'm going to celebrate up there in heaven while all that business is going on down there on earth. Amen. Now get Revelation chapter 3 and prepare Revelation 19. Who gets to wear, who gets this white raiment? Revelation 3, verse number 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis. So I just want you to see there, he's writing to the angel of the church in Sardis. Verse number 4. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Okay, jump to Revelation 19, starting at verse number 7. Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now let's get two things. Number one, what's going on here? White linen is the righteousness of who? Not angels, not cherubim, but saints. At the end of the tribulation time, the end of that 7-year period is the marriage of the Lamb. But I want you to notice, when the bride, the Lamb's wife, comes to be married, notice in Revelation 19, verse number 8, to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. She's already gotten the white linen. Do you see that? The church doesn't just duck into heaven just in time for the marriage. You know, after going through all that tribulation, the church is already in heaven, already clothed in white raiment, already enjoying the festivities which lead up to the marriage itself. Talk about a bridal shower. Amen. Talk about a prenuptial banquet. It's going to be wonderful. Let me ask you something. Think about this. If you, as a man, were about to marry the love of your heart, for whom you had given up everything you had to get her, would you say to that woman, I have everything I need to provide for you. I have all the power and the might to protect you. I have all the riches to satisfy your every longing, your every desire. But a week before our marriage, I'm going to put you through hell on earth just to see if you really love me. No man in his right mind who really loved her would do that. He wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do that. And yet we've got people who say that the Lord Jesus Christ, who wouldn't give a stone to somebody that asked him for bread, who wouldn't give a scorpion to someone who asked for fish, we got people saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to make his bride, his love, crawl through fire on broken glass in order to get to the marriage chamber. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe with all my heart, this Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 8, that when she comes to that marriage, she's already got the white raiment. She's already been prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. If you know the book of Esther, you know that she pictured this in that book with her name on it. Okay, and so we find that these 24 elders certainly, again, represent the New Testament church. They're there. We're there. Then come back to Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse number 6 again. I mentioned that these 24 elders have crowns and thrones, and that angels do not have thrones or crowns. Look at Revelation 1, the end of verse 5. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings. Where do kings sit? On thrones. What do kings wear on their heads? They wear crowns. So when I find people on thrones wearing crowns in Revelation 4, I don't have to make something up then. Okay, I go right back to Revelation 1. I say, well, there's the kings right there. Which explains why when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, Revelation 19, to slaughter all of his enemies, he is wearing a banner that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What kings? Not the King of Kuwait, not the king of Iran, not the king of India, not the king of Japan, but the kings that he washed in his blood. Revelation 1:6. You say, well, what about those thrones? Look in Revelation 3. We'll get the crown first. Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. And Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In Revelation 2 and 3, we have letters to the churches. Do you know what we find in those letters to those churches? The promise that they will wear white raiment, they'll sit on a throne, they'll wear a crown, and he didn't promise this to the angels. He told the angels to promise that to the churches. So when I get to Revelation 4, I have the church taken up to heaven. I find one group around the throne wearing white linen, wearing a crown, and sitting on a throne. And guess what group it is? It's the church. And I believe somebody wrote a song one time that said, "The best is yet to come when I walk through heaven's gate." And I agree with that. The best is yet to come. All right, one more. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll see next time these thunders, these lightnings, and so forth. They represent judgment. They represent judgment proceeding from the throne. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Do you know what the time of great tribulation is? It is God's judgments upon the world. Why would some of God's people be living in fear of that judgment when the Bible says that the saints, they're not the recipients of that judgment. They're not receiving the judgment, but the saints are the ones helping to administrate that judgment. I'm not being judged with the world. I'm sitting with my Savior on the throne from which proceeds the very judgments that the people are fearing while they're sitting there in a church somewhere. I'm not worried about God's tribulation judgments upon this world. I'm not part of the world. I've been saved from out of the world. I've been made part of the church, and the church will be with the Lord on his throne, from whence he sends judgments upon those that would not trust in his shed blood. Hallelujah. All right, one more place tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We're almost there. Almost done. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. All right. Not only then do we have no mention of the church on earth, not only do we have John looking down from the place whence believers will witness the judgments which follow the taking up of the church, but we have a company in heaven answering in every respect to the position which raised believers will occupy. Moreover, the work in which God is here engaged, judgment, qualified by the recollection of his covenant with the earth, that rainbow we talked about, that corresponds not with his present ways of grace, but with what is foretold of his acts when the day of grace is ended. And he resumes his dealings with the world in preparation for the establishment of Messiah's kingdom. Okay? All this shows that the scene in Revelation 4 and 5 is one which follows the coming of Christ for his saints, and that the elders in heaven represent believers. They represent believers who are taken up and changed into his own likeness. So there's no need for fanciful speculation. The church is an holy nation. The church is a royal priesthood. The church is a kingdom of priests. And these 24 elders are leading them in worship in the holy temple. Let me show you just this parallel here in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse number 11. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by courses. Okay, so notice there are courses, but all the priests are present, okay, and all the priests are sanctified. Verse 12. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them, of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. You know what you find in Revelation chapter 4? All that priesthood is there, all of them. They all begin to sing. They all begin to worship. They all begin to praise God. But by the time the chapter is over, they're all on their face round about that throne. They couldn't stand for the power and majesty of the glory of God. I tell you, you've been to some prayer meetings, so have I. And I trust you've been in some church services sometime, or around an altar sometime, and you just kind of felt that cloud of the glory of God move in. I've heard men say that they've been in some prayer meetings where they were afraid to open their eyes for fear they might see those feet like unto fine brass right before their face. But I'll tell you something. We're going to a place where God Almighty sits in all his glory. And every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been washed in the blood of the Lamb is in a place where they are no longer arguing and debating and fault-finding and criticizing. No, they're all lifting up their voices in one accord, like one big voice, to give praise to the Lamb. It's beyond comprehension. We'll have to see it with our own eyes. But that's what I want to do. How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this look into the future things and that the promises that you gave us, and the hope that we have. We certainly do look forward to being with you, Lord, and praising you around the throne of God. And Father, in the meantime, we pray that you'll help us to stick to your word, to learn it, to know it, to love it, to teach it, to not take away any part that we don't like, but to just teach it all as you have given it to us. Try to be a help to others as they may be confused about some of these things. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to just think upon these things and let these thoughts help us to adjust whatever needs to be adjusted in the way we're living our lives. Help us to try to be more holy in our day-to-day living, because that's the way it's going to be once we're in your presence. And we might as well start now. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.